Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Fredericksburg Area Museum this morning. It has been a long time since we have talked about the Fredericksburg Area Museum. Dr. Gayla Sims in this morning. Where have you been?
Busy summer, but I've missed you.
I know. We have lots to catch up on. It has been a busy summer for the museum, and lots going on and coming up. But first things first, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You are the new Vice President of Programs and Interpretation.
I am. It's very exciting.
I saw that yesterday and being very happy about that because I knew you were coming in this morning. But boy, well deserved.
Thank you. I'm just so thrilled. It's such an honor. I love this community so much, and it just feels so amazing to know that I get to stay here for longer and get to just do the work that we all love so much.
We want you to stay forever. So whatever has to be done. And no, that was my first thought was good. She's going to be around even longer. So a vice president of programs and interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it is a lot of stuff. I'm now in charge of all the exhibitions, the collection, and then all of the education. So programming, school trips, field trips, all that kind of stuff. And I have an amazing team. I'm working with Kylie Thompson and Teresa Kramer. Teresa is our educator, and Kylie is our curatorial specialist, and I just feel super lucky and super happy.
I know Teresa pretty well. She's been in before, and she's just passionate of what she does and works so well in that kind of education part of the museum.
She really does. She's a numbers girl, so I'm not going to try to quote her numbers because I would let her do that, but she sees a lot of kids. I can just say that. She sees a lot of kids.
Yeah, and yeah. It's great what the museum has been able to do, and she's been responsible for that, just to get kids in there and to have the museum as it is there, and to have kids go through there. What a great introduction to the world of of what museums offer, and we've got a lot of them around here.
Absolutely, I really believe that museums can be this really special place that you encounter as a child, where the kind of history and culture that you know about, you've heard about, kind of comes alive. And Teresa does an amazing job of doing that for the kids in this area. She also goes out to schools and does presentations there. So if people can't afford a bus, or if they just want some in-classroom stuff, she's able to do that. So yeah, she's killing it.
It's a really good point. So it's so interesting when you talk about just the impact that the parents can have taking their kids to museums. It's so interesting when you talk to librarians, and they talk about how families and their parents took them to the library. Mm-hmm. Same with museums. I know that was your story.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I grew up going to museums with my mom and my sisters, and I'll never forget those experiences, and that's what, I hope that the FAM gives to people in this area and then visitors from out of town as well. It is a safe and fun and engaging place to learn about your history and your community.
You and I met when you were working on your first project here was the slave auction block in that section of the museum that we'll talk about as we go along this morning. But I knew like about a minute into my first question to you about explain this. I knew like a minute into it, you really were you had connected to the issue and to this community, and I just knew then. So this is no surprise.
Thank you. I've always felt really connected to this community. The minute I got here, I felt like I was supposed to be here, and that auction block, I spent a lot of time thinking about that object, and I feel very honored to get to take care of it.
So, Vice President of Programs and Interpretation, I guess the interpretation is ultimately how issues or how the various things in the museum are what's said about them.
Absolutely. I think of interpretation as all the exhibitions, so interpretive texts that are in the exhibitions, but also thinking about, you know, going out and doing lectures in the community, doing the work that we're doing with the city of Fredericksburg on wayside panels and things like that. So interpretation is kind of this umbrella term that I use to talk about all the different ways that we're out there in the community.
I don't know that we all realize whether it's a panel in the museum or just the panels that are around town. There's a lot of work goes into that, and in some cases it's you know, maybe a dozen or so lines.
Mm-hmm.
But to tell a story, mm-hmm. and to tell a whole story concisely, mm-hmm. and to make sure there are no grammatical or spelling errors, I would guess there's a lot of work involved in that. And
so much work. It's so much work, and it is a skill. You know, public history is a skill, and we are really thorough at the museum. I know that it doesn't always kind of like, you can't see the behind the scenes when you walk into an exhibit, but, you know, when people come into the Lafayette exhibit, for example, that I curated, I did, I think, 6 drafts of the interpretive text for that exhibit.
I'm even surprised. To me, that's even a low number. I would have thought it would be even more.
And can I tell you a really amazing story that
yeah.
happened recently? So this older man came to visit the museum, and he was looking at the Lafayette exhibit, and he was taking his time. He was really looking at it, and I was in the gallery with him. And at the end, he comes over to me, and he says, "I'm an editor, and I just looked over this whole exhibit, and I couldn't find one single error." And I was like, this is the best day of my life.
Wow.
Yeah. And shout out to Nancy Moore, who does all the copy editing for the museum, because she's the one who catches all those weird typos that I might make.
That would be terrible.
Yep.
To have it all out there,
yep.
and having to have been there for a few weeks,
mm-hmm.
and someone to say, hey, I think
yep.
that might not be.
That's my worst nightmare, but so far it hasn't happened. So here's hoping.
But it would be. But it really is, to be able to tell a story and I guess part of it too is, you know, choosing what you can get and being able to get, or, you know, just being able to in some ways work with what you can get.
Mm-hmm.
You might want certain things, but you might not be able to get them.
Yeah, that is absolutely a problem. You know, some of the bigger repositories like the Library of Congress, it takes a lot of effort to borrow objects from there.
Yeah.
Luckily, sometimes we can just have a facsimile or an image of the object. And so it is a lot about being creative and flexible to try to tell the story that we want to tell within whatever parameters we have to tell it.
I guess to put from the actual idea, like the Lafayette exhibit,
mm-hmm.
from the actual idea to getting it up,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of, I'm sure there's a lot of time. I mean, whether you're sitting daydreaming and thinking mm-hmm. of things, or just jotting things down, mm-hmm. and then the actual what can I get, then the actual writing,
mm-hmm.
it takes a lot of time.
It took a lot of time for that exhibit, and I'm working on a huge exhibit now that's going to be even bigger than Lafayette. And, you know, it takes a lot of time and energy and effort, but it's such a pleasure. We get to learn so much, and I really like the chance to share stories that people in this community might not have heard. You know, we've had several people come into the Lafayette exhibit and say that they didn't know that Lafayette was such a fervent abolitionist. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, we get to do. We get to share that kind of those stories with people in a way that's accessible and engaging. And I think it's just such a pleasure.
I remember you telling me that your office at the time anyway was down by the slave auction block,
mm-hmm.
and you enjoyed just sitting there at times and listening to people make comments,
mm-hmm.
or learn things.
Absolutely. And I still do that. My office isn't downstairs anymore. It's on the third floor now. But every time I walk through the galleries, I say hi to whoever's there. I chat with the kids who are looking for dinosaurs. I mean, it's just a fun place to be, honestly. And it's just such a good time there. I'm so lucky. I feel really grateful.
So now, because I'm one that doesn't always, I sometimes will go through, even if I'm really interested, I don't always do a lot of the reading.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to feel like I need to, because I know someone who does all this writing.
No, Ted. Look, a museum is a choose your own adventure.
Okay.
So if you're in the mood to just look at pictures, you look at pictures. If you're in the mood to read one corner, that's what you do. I would never dictate how people approach the exhibitions.
I like that. Choose your own adventure.
It is. Absolutely.
That really that does describe. And I guess everybody is different.
Mm-hmm.
You have the people that go through an exhibit and just spend, read every word and look at everything, and others who just kind of glance over.
And that's okay. I feel like it's totally up to how you're feeling, how you process, how you're thinking. Sometimes when I go to museums, I don't read every single thing. Sometimes it's more about the atmosphere of the place. Sometimes when you go to an art museum, right, you just want to look at the stuff. You don't necessarily want to read about it. You just want to look at the pieces.
Yeah.
And so I would never dictate how people approach a museum. You do whatever you need to do.
FAMBA.org is the for the Fredericksburg Area Museum. Great Facebook page that will keep you up to date on everything that is going on. Dr. Kayla Sims here this morning, the Vice President of Programs and Interpretation. I'm going to say that a lot this morning.
Thank you.
Because it is brand new. And I think everybody who saw it yesterday, it was great. It was so fun to read all the Facebook comments.
Thank you.
So anyway, it's great to have you here, and it's great to have that you get that promotion.
Thank you.
More coming up. We're going to talk a lot about the Fredericksburg Area Museum this morning. We're going to talk all about the Fredericksburg Area Museum with Dr. Sims. More News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Kayla Simpson this morning from the Fredericksburg Area Museum, the Vice President of Programs and Interpretation. If you see her today, congratulate her. Great, great, great news yesterday that that became a reality. What a busy summer at the museum.
Oh, my goodness. It's just nonstop over there.
I think all of us, no matter what we do, you always say, yeah, it's gonna be a nice, easy summer.
Nope. Not at the fam.
Not at all. You all have had just a number of exhibits and people going through for various different things.
Mm-hmm.
And Sounds of Summer, once again, is just a huge turnout, and you did a few less concerts this year than in the past. You kind of gave yourself a little bit of a break.
Well, that was all Sam. So we are really conscious of the fact that it often rains on Fridays. So Sam's idea was to have fewer concerts so that we could have rain days built in, which I think is really smart because there's always rain because we live in Virginia. Fewer concerts, but it's been really fun, and it's just wonderful to see the community come out.
It is. It really is interesting. Even on nights when it's just super hot, it really has not affected the crowds that you can see anyway.
No, people love being together. I think that's the thing about Market Square, right? People love being together.
It is. Market Square is just a great place for everything. The Juneteenth celebration held there. I mean, that was an all day kind of thing, and people just kept coming and coming and going and coming.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, the Fredericksburg Area Museum has really carved out yourself as really a gathering point.
Thank you
for a lot of things, and then the museum and a lot of the exhibits that you have. Mm-hmm. Tie into kind of what the community's talking about.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the point of the museum, is to bring people together. Obviously, I love the history. I love the culture. I want you to read every panel. Just kidding. But I truly believe the point of the museum is just to give the community a place to be together, to come together, to have conversations, and just to learn together.
Speaking of learning together, because the city has makes a big point, and they have been as far as telling the stories that hadn't been told.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always felt that the museum, you kind of follow along with that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these stories will get told, and then the museum is able, in some cases, to expand.
Absolutely.
On all of that.
Yeah, so the way I think about it is, community members here have been gathering stories forever, especially African American community members. But at the museum, our job is to kind of expand the reach of those stories. So, you know, in Mayfield, there might be stories that everybody knows about Dr. W.L. Harris, but maybe outside of Mayfield, everybody doesn't know about him. Mm-hmm. And so our job at the museum and my job is to make sure that those stories get a further reach and we can celebrate them in a more expansive way.
And that is exciting because mm-hmm. in a lot of cases, you will see these. You'll see the signs because I've been over and covered and done things in Mayfield and see his name and mm-hmm. and other names and you don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And now there are some panels mm-hmm. around, or a lot of these stories have come up in various programs that you do.
Absolutely. I mean, Dr. Harris, I think, is a really good example. Mr. Sonny Holmes told me about how important he was right when I got to Fredericksburg. And I was like, okay, let's make sure that we share these stories, this story more broadly. And so we put the Wayside Panel in Mayfield so that people in that community can read about that man who the park is named after.
Yeah.
But we also did a lecture at the Fredericksburg Food Co-op with Dr. Catlett and her sister and me and Mr. Holmes, where we talked about the importance of Dr. Harris's life. And then he'll also be featured prominently in the big exhibit I'm working on for next year, which is called Living Legacies, African-American History in the Fredericksburg Area. So, like, just in that example, you can see we're making sure people know on the landscape, we're making sure people know out in the community, and we're making sure people know in the museum. And so, yeah, it's strategic, and we want to make sure that these stories are preserved but also shared as widely as possible.
Well, I can't wait for that exhibit because you've been here long enough to mm-hmm. have worked with Sonny Holmes and others mm-hmm. to be able to really put something like this together. And I mean, you're the perfect person to do it. And you have worked with so many different people to compile mm-hmm. a lot of these things. I mean, your time here, the time that you came has just been so strategic in that you really have had access to a lot of people who were able to tell you some things.
I've been so lucky that people trust me. You know, I know that I moved here and people didn't know who I was. I'm from Southern California, which is, you know, iffy for some people. But I feel so lucky that people trust me with their stories, with their objects, with their images. And I hope that more and more people in this community feel comfortable coming to the museum, coming to me with those stories so that we can kind of make sure we can share them in whatever ways make sense to the people who want to share them.
And Gail, I would think that it's kind of like a lot of times, you know, people will walk in with the park service even today, mm-hmm. and, you know, something that's been in their house for years mm-hmm. and want to talk about it. There are still stories out there, mm-hmm. I am sure, and the people just don't feel, either they don't feel comfortable or they think they're probably not interested mm-hmm. in this.
Yeah.
And I know that you have an open door to that kind of thing of wanting to find out.
Absolutely.
These kinds of stories.
Yes, absolutely. I always say that if I can just get people to talk to me for like 15 minutes, I can convince them to invest in the museum in terms of their stories, in terms of their time, in terms of their objects, whatever they feel comfortable. But if people just come talk to us, they'll know we take this very seriously and we show a lot of care for our community in the museum.
Well, and the museum has really just grown in the sense of just telling the story of the community.
Absolutely. I mean, I've only been here 2 years, but I've already seen just such a huge expanse of new things coming into the museum, new stories, new people. I know that there's a lot of folks who'd never been in the museum before, but now they've come. At Juneteenth, for example, we had a lot of African-American community members who said that they didn't even know the museum was there. And then they came in and I got to show them around. So, you know, every single event like that where we can bring new people in is a pleasure.
Wow. And You're such a welcoming person, I'm sure it's a surprise to me when I hear it. When you hear people say, you know, I've never been into the museum, and I guess in some sense, some of those people probably thought there's nothing in here for me.
Mm-hmm, absolutely,
and that would be the thing that's really where you can open up and show them these are the kind of stories you want to tell.
Absolutely, and the other thing is we understand not everybody processes well just reading text on a wall. We yeah. know that some people need hands-on experience. Some people like something like Juneteenth, where it's a community event, but we're still learning, right? And so we're really conscious of the different learning styles and the different ways that people feel comfortable kind of getting more knowledge, I guess. We're really proud of the work that we're doing, and I hope that in the next, you know, couple years with this new title, I can expand the reach of the museum even further.
Oh, I'm sure you will. I have no doubt. I'm sure that there are things that you're not prepared to talk about that are in your mind of, you know.
You should listen to Sam. Every single day I come in, I'm like, hey, I have this idea. And he sits there and he's like, oh, no. Because he knows it's going to be more work, he knows it's a good idea.
Right, exactly. Speaking of Sam, the chair Sam usually sits in has your backpack today. We've just taken over the studio. But
correct.
He chose not to come today, so he loses his seat for now.
Yeah.
For now.
That's where my backpack lives now.
So it's right there, and it's comfortable. Dr. Gayla Sims in here this morning from the Fredericksburg Area Museum. So talking about, you know, getting people in, one of my thoughts, too, also is when you talk about Teresa and getting kids in,
mm-hmm.
You never know. In some cases, you've got kids who go home and tell their parents, mm-hmm. or tell their grandparents,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden, either they didn't hear about it or they think, well, there's nothing there for me,
mm-hmm.
and they get a whole different opinion, and they come through the doors.
Absolutely. Yeah, there was a little girl with her grandmother that came into the museum maybe a year ago, and she said she'd been on a school trip, and so she convinced her grandma to come in, and I ran into them because I'm wandering around the galleries, and I told them about Sounds of Summer, and then they came to Sounds of Summer that same week. So, like, it was very much I think of it as like a breakthrough where, like, you come in for the first time and then you realize it's yours, that you can feel comfortable in the space, and then you'll keep coming back.
Well, and if you haven't been to the museum is not the kind of place where you have to have, you know, it's not like libraries used to be, mm-mm. where you have to have a subdued voice, mm-mm. and it's an alive, with an energy kind of place.
Yes. I wish we should really record someday the sound of 20 preschoolers stomping up our stairs.
Oh, yeah.
It's very cute. Yeah, we're all in the office and we're like, oh, the preschoolers are here. But we love that. You know, we love that they feel comfortable in the space, and we never want them to feel like they have to kind of quiet themselves or shrink themselves to learn in our space.
We should mention that the museum is free.
Yes.
Also, though, going with that, if you're able to partner with the museum and make monthly donations, mm-hmm. or make donations to the museum to help keep that,
yep.
get involved.
Yes, we would love that. You know, we're doing so much amazing programming, and it's really important to me that almost all of our programming is free or incredibly inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's now completely free to come into the museum every day that it's open. But we do need donations. We need support from the community. And as I come into this new role, development is going to be one of my jobs. And so, you know, help me out, guys. I'm just kidding. But no, we're working hard, and we're really proud of the work we're doing. And we'd love for the community to invest in us as well.
It's a great start off point, at least when you've got family and friends in the community and wondering where should I go.
Yes.
I always say start off at the Fredericksburg Area Museum, and then there's all, you can get into all the specialized museums, but you're going to learn a lot about this area just at FAM.
Come to FAM. We'll tell you about the basics of Fredericksburg history. Mm-hmm. You'll learn a little bit about dinosaur tracks. You can see the auction block. You can feel like you're part of this community, and then go out and explore even more museums like Mary Washington House, Chatham Manor, all of these places, to get the full picture of Fredericksburg.
FAMVA.org. 907 Princess Anne Street, in case you don't know, is the spot with the Fredericksburg Area Museum. Dr. Gayla Sims here this morning, the Vice President of Programs and Interpretation. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:31.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a centennial broadcasting station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Fredericksburg Area Museum, our focus this morning with Dr. Gayla Sims here, the Vice President of Programs and Interpretation. That will never get old. That will never get old. Again, congratulations.
Thank you, my friend.
Just because. It's just so you have been... You have your passion for the community always continues to show, and this is just great. couple of other things going on, mm-hmm. and you've got there are two programs coming up, mm-hmm. At Home and Dark History.
Yes, so
both sound interesting.
Yeah, so these are both the brainchildren of my dear colleague Kylie Thompson, who's our curatorial specialist. She is so smart. She comes up with the coolest ideas, and she loves objects, I think, more than me, which is really saying something. So she's leading this program called At Home Archivists, which will be on August 15th, starting at 6 p.m. And she's going to teach people how to care for their objects at home. So she's going to talk about handling, packing, displaying, storage.
Oh, we need to do a show on that.
I know, all these different ways that you can take care of your own objects so you can pass them down to your descendants or give them to a museum. So it's pretty exciting.
Because there are things and ways you handle mm-hmm. things, and especially around here mm-hmm. with things like humidity
mm-hmm.
that can play a role in whether something, you know, how something stays.
Absolutely. And, you know, at the museum, we know that those objects, those family objects, are the key to telling so many important stories about mm-hmm. Fredericksburg. And so we want to make sure that you all have the opportunity to care for the objects in your homes. So the tickets are only $5, which I think is very reasonable. And they can be purchased through Eventbrite or on our website or through our social media. But also, like, not gonna lie, Kylie is just so delightful that I feel like it's worth it just to hang out with her. But you know,
yeah,
you'll also learn some stuff too.
So, and that's gonna be again, when is that?
That is on August 15th at 6 p.m. at the museum.
What a great program, because mm-hmm. I would think that there are a lot of us who have things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you also mentioned or, and mm-hmm. you kind of slipped that in, or donate it to the museum.
Yes,
and that's a great thing. That's a great mm-hmm. thing too, especially if you've got something. And you know that down the line, family members might not be interested or they might not take care of it like Absolutely. You've been taking care of it.
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of elders in this community who have just amazing collections. And, you know, they're conscious of the fact that maybe their family doesn't have the resources to take care of it. Maybe their house is just feeling a little cluttered.
Mm-hmm.
Please come talk to us. We would love to talk about the objects that you might have. I also have something else to tell you, Ted, this is a surprise. I'm now a board member on the Central Rappahannock Heritage Center, which is the archive for our community.
Isn't that a great place?
Oh my gosh.
I need to, now that you have that, you can get me in touch with people who can do a show
yes.
to talk about this. Because I don't think, a lot of times, sometimes we'll see photographs mm-hmm. that come from there,
mm-hmm.
but I would love to know more about what goes on there.
It is an incredible space. I mean, first of all, it's in a former high school gym.
I was going to say it's over at Maury School. Yeah.
So cool.
yeah.
But the objects in that collection, Ted, they're, well, the documents, mostly photographs, books, it's incredibly valuable, and I love being there. Can I tell you about the coolest object I've found so far?
Please.
Okay, so do you know about the Loving case?
Yeah, okay. Over in Caroline County.
Yes, so mm-hmm. some people might not know that the Loving family, their case was tried before the Supreme Court and was the reason that interracial marriage became legal, and they were from Caroline County. So at the CRHC, they have the original arrest warrant for Mildred Loving. And wow. I got to hold it in my hands, and it was very exciting. So that paperwork, I'm hoping I'll be able to borrow for the Living Legacies exhibition.
I was just going to say, is that going to be, that would be so
yes.
good to see something like that.
Yeah, so we're working really hard to build a kind of stronger relationship between the Heritage Center and the FAM, and we've been working with Florence Barnick, who is the board chair, and it's just been such a pleasure.
That's so interesting. And when you donate something to a museum, especially if the museum displays it, I know in my case, years ago, my grandfather gave this buggy he had
uh-huh.
to a museum. And every once in a while, when I'm back in Michigan and to go to that museum mm-hmm. and to see that and to see his name associated mm-hmm. with it, I mean, you're kind of, it's really a it's kind of you're proud to see that kind of thing.
Yes, I think that's a really important part, right? When you come into a museum and you know that your family history is represented.
Yeah.
that know your community's history is represented, to know that we take your stories very seriously. I think that's a beautiful feeling, and I think you can really get that at the FAM. You're not necessarily going to get that at the Smithsonian, right? You might, but you're more likely to get that feeling at a small museum like the FAM, and that's why I love it so much.
Oh, I mean, the Smithsonian has nice things.
It does.
But you come, you walk around the Fredericksburg Area Museum, and you just see so many things connected to here. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's a I'll take you over over the Smithsonian.
So I'll let them know.
At home archivist is August the 15th. Mm-hmm. Then talk to me about the other program you've got in October.
Yes. So Kylie is also spearheading this program. She's a genius. On October 5th, we will be launching a new series. There's a 2-part series called What Remains. So October 5th is the first part. It's called What Remains Dark History. And we're talking about the dark and strange side of Fredericksburg through artifacts. So we're going to look through our artifacts in our collection to learn more about haunted objects, tombstones, buried objects, all sorts of kind of hauntings and other things that we have represented in our collection. And I want to make sure that people know we're taking this very seriously. You know, we're not being kind of macabre or anything like that.
Right.
But there are some really interesting stories that we can tell. And if you've been to the FAM, you know that we're in a very, very old building and that there might be some people, you know, who linger in the space.
So let me ask, because I've always wanted to ask. I don't know, I've never asked you this, because I've heard from people who work in some of these old buildings. Mm-hmm. And who will talk about things. Sometimes you're there by yourself at night. Have you ever encountered anything?
I haven't, but my colleagues certainly have.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I have a tradition. If I'm the first one in the museum and I open the door, I come in right by the auction block and I greet the museum and I say, "Hi, museum, thanks for letting me be here today." And maybe that is why they stay away from me.
It's so interesting with, like, the Rising Sun Tavern and some of the other places, the things that the people will talk about.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds silly, but I do truly believe in the kind of physical presence of all of these histories layered in these buildings. You know, like the building that houses the FAM was City Hall.
Yeah.
It also, you know, had lots of other people come through during the Civil War. There's been some really hard things that have happened there, some really beautiful things. And I think all of those kind of those stories leave some kind of lingering presence, right? And so that's one of the things we'll kind of talk about in the October 5th program is what remains in the building.
Well, and there have been over the years, I know, a lot of walking tours, especially that in October and all with Halloween. I know Jervis Harrison for years has had things. So there are stories and there are things all around town. So this will fit right in.
Absolutely. But what we can do a little differently is we have all these incredible objects in our collection.
Yeah.
And so we can really tell these stories through the artifacts themselves. And so that's why I'm really excited, and I'm also really proud of Kylie for thinking of this program and for spearheading it. And I'm really excited to find out what she says because I don't know either.
So when do you sometimes, because you talked about, you know, all the artifacts and things you have, sometimes do you just go into, can you just like walk around a room sometime with artifacts that aren't on display and look at things and think, hey, we might be able to do something with that?
Absolutely. So we have our collection on the first floor of the museum.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I go in there to visit Kylie. That's where her office is. And I just walk around to see what I might want to put in something someday.
Yeah.
For example, one time I just opened a drawer and in the drawer was a campaign poster for Reverend Davies when he ran for mayor. And I was like, well, obviously I need to put that on display sometime. And so things like that happen every day. And it is a really fun time.
Somebody, and I saw it on Facebook yesterday where somebody had posted a campaign or a sign talking about President Bush's visit in the early 90s at Gorick's.
Interesting. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, he was at Gorick's.
That's fascinating.
It was during the campaign, and you look at stuff like that, and you just think, oh, I forgot about that. That'd be a really cool thing to have.
It would.
Those are the kinds of things, though, that you're interested. Even something, I mean, that's not something that's ancient, but it's about a big event downtown.
Absolutely. And, you know, one kind of issue that we encounter sometimes with our collection is that people want to give us stuff from all over the world. But our collection is very focused mm-hmm. on this area. So we can't accept anything that is from Hawaii unless it has a direct Fredericksburg connection.
Sure.
But for those objects that have that Fredericksburg connection, it's just absolutely beautiful to see them come in. And I'm always getting pictures from Kylie where she's posing with new objects. And I'm like, oh, well, now that's part of our collection. That's awesome.
Yeah, because there's so much there. And you've only been there for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. You're probably always running into something in a drawer.
Absolutely. And it's so fun every time. Or even sometimes I'll walk around like an exhibit that was there before I got there and see things that I'm like, you know, I bet if I research a little bit more, I could even use this object somewhere else for something else. You know, you just got to be creative and flexible. That's what we do.
Well, and the other thing is now, especially I know that you go to museum meetings and things like that around mm-hmm. the country.
I do.
And you come up with, I would think you would come up with a lot of ideas.
Absolutely. Earlier this summer, I was in Berlin and I went to a lot of museums and I took a bunch of pictures and I was like,
wow.
Oh, I like that display technique, or ooh, I like the way that they're telling that story. And then I take a picture and I bring it to our exhibit designer, or I bring it to Kylie, or I bring it to Sam. And I'm like, what do you think about this? That actually happened last week. I went to the American Civil War Museum. They have this incredible...
Is that down like Lexington or somewhere down?
No, it's in Richmond.
Oh, in Richmond. Okay.
Yeah, at the Tredegar Building.
Oh, yeah.
It was so interesting. And I saw two techniques for participation that I was like, we're going to incorporate this. I do it all the time. I'm going to a big conference next week, and hopefully I'll learn even more.
Sometime we will have to talk about this more, because I am sure that you have to kind of find a middle ground with the participation. Because mm-hmm. sometimes I'll go to museums and there's too much participation.
Yep, that's a thing.
And I don't like, but I know some people do.
Yep, that's 100% a thing. There's actually a really famous book called The Participatory Museum, which advocates in part for like really leading into the participation parts of museums. And I agree that people should be able to participate, but I also don't think that's the only way that we can, the only technique for display. So it's a balance.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. and to try to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why you're the vice president of programs and interpretation, in case we haven't mentioned that this morning. Dr. Kayla Sims here with the Fredericksburg Area Museum, famba.org. When we come back, we'll talk about the auction block and where that's headed, and wrap this up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Kayla Sims with the Fredericksburg Area Museum here this morning. She is all together now, the Vice President of Programs and Interpretation. And just well done, and very happy for you and for the museum and for the community.
Thank you.
I first met you over the auction block. I mean, that was one of the things you came here, and that was your thing
mm-hmm.
when you first came. And I know you continue to work mm-hmm. on that. And where are we as far as what the next steps are?
Yeah, so as I think we've talked about before, we have a committee that works on the auction block. And one of the things that we've been working on is a memorial installation for the corner of William Charles Streets where the auction block previously stood.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am really happy to say that we are making progress in that project. We actually have interviews scheduled with design firms to pick somebody to take on the design. The interviews are scheduled for the end of this month. And so we're very close to identifying our design firm. And then from there, we'll be really making the design plans. So we've got some incredible proposals, and I'm just really excited to see what's gonna happen. I'm just feeling really grateful and excited. And, you know, it's such a big project. It has so much meaning for so many people, and we're taking it very seriously. But I'm also just genuinely thrilled to get to work with such an awesome group of community members.
Well, and Gail, it's such an, like you said, it's such an important thing. And right now there's a sign there, but you just feel like there needs to be more.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the biggest arguments that people made for keeping it where it was is that it's such an important education tool. And I 100% agree with that. And so we want to make sure that people can learn on that corner, but not only learn, we want them to be able to go to that space for reflection, for rest, for thinking about the ancestors, for whatever they might need. And so we're hoping that the space becomes inviting, comforting, thought-provoking, you know, that it takes care of people at the same time that it really shows the history. And so I think based on the proposals we've received and the team that, you know, the teams we're looking at, we're going to be able to make it happen.
I guess it won't be very big just because that area is somewhat small. Or is it going to be, is it going to be bigger than I'm thinking?
I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. That's going to be, you know, the designers working with community members to see. But we're anticipating utilizing some additional space, not just the corner. So either the sidewalk leading up to the corner or the other three corners of that intersection, or maybe both. So we're going to be creative in how we approach it. But our number one goal is to not disrupt traffic, foot traffic or vehicle traffic, and to make sure that, you know, it's safe and accessible for people. So we're working on it, but I think it's going to be amazing.
I know I saw one of your presentations on it, and you showed some pictures of some of what some others had done. And so it was those pictures from around the country. I think even one was from Charlottesville, that there are things you can do that are pretty unique.
Absolutely. And I think this is such a unique opportunity. You know, there's a lot of universities, plantation museums that have done memorials, but there aren't as many on the city side. And so I think that is one way that this project's really unique. Also, there aren't as many memorials to the trade and enslaved people. So there's a lot of memorials to slavery in general, but to the auction block, to that experience of being bought and sold, there are fewer installations and memorials to that. And so that's another reason this one's so important.
FAMVA.org will give you all kinds of information of what's going on at the museum, and get involved financially with the museum. That's one area. It is free, but we can all also get involved financially.
Absolutely. You can come to the museum and drop off a donation. You can sign up online. You can come to Sounds of Summer and drop some cash in our donation boxes. But you can also donate your time if you don't have funds that are you know, available. You can come volunteer with us. Come work at Sounds of Summer. It's a really good time, even though it's hot. And you can come kind of work in the collection with me and Kylie once you get trained. You know, there's all sorts of ways to get involved. And we just always want the community to know that we're here.
A couple of programs at home. Archivist is on August 15th. And What Remains, Dark History, October the 5th. And you can find out all that, famva.org. Or Facebook has all kinds of great stuff. And again, in case we haven't missed, the Vice President of Programs and Interpretation, congratulations again. It is great to have you here. They're just great. It's really exciting things going on with the Fredericksburg Area Museum, and glad you could come in and talk with us today and tell Sam hi. But there's a backpack on his chair now.
I think I'm going to take a picture and show it to him.
I think we should.
Thank you, Ted.
Thank you, Gayla. Thanks for coming in, and thanks for what you do with the museum.
Thank you.
That is it. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.